Hello, my friend. This is Dan Riley again, and along with Karen, we continue to walk with you through the very helpful book, Build with Living Stones. But I acknowledge right away, it in and of itself is inadequate. It's a wonderful, wonderful text that points us both to other authors noted in this Unit 4, The Gospel Way, Moving Toward the Reign of God, and a few authors I'll mention shortly, but especially to our own reflection. And then, now and now, more with each other, our engagement with one another. You see, you and I, and this chapter has the underlying theology of it, we're entering into models of the church ourselves. Our pods, our gatherings, our Zooms, or ways in the contemporary world to be ecclesial bodies, which are bodies drawn together by the Spirit of God, seminal to the what we call the larger church, the church universal. And we find, too, in this chapter, the wonderful ability for Francis to sort of walk on by, to not get caught in the structural church, but acknowledging it and the value and need for it, diving right into the gospel way of life, moving toward the reign of God, which is the name of our Unit 4. Now, each unit for me is a very lively unit, so I'm grateful for Karen and others who have chosen this for us as a study. But again, it's sort of a core book that points out to others. One book in particular I'll mention right now, Leonardo Boff's, B-O-F-F's, St. Francis, A Model of Human Liberation, is a particularly wonderful book. And then Edward Skillebix is mentioned in this book. So we hear different contemporary theologians, Leonardo Boff from Brazil and at one time a Franciscan, welling for us from Francis, from gospel notions, from deep ways in which we were earlier gathered into the good news to be the body of Christ today, to be heralds of good news, which is one of the great parts of this, that this chapter, like a good trombone, begins slow and then blasts in the end, or a quiet, gentle blast when it takes us into the canticle of the creatures, which is so evangelical, so rich in its ability to be a herald of the gospel, written by Francis and proclaimed by his brothers and probably some of his sisters on the streets of Assisi to bring reconciliation long ago. So in the universal appeal that Francis has, I would say sort of as a cinematographic character, he's up on the big screen. Maybe you saw Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. This guy moves. He moves through the world. He was an itinerant preacher, a hermit proclaiming the good news, all of which are models for the mountain, lived differently by many of us. And his outlook always was on page 43, Deus meus et omnia, my God and my all. I believe that's foundational to Franciscan understanding of poverty. So take nothing for your journey really radicalizes this belief that God, all of God, is both within us, around us, and before us. Page 44 just notes that the church is an institution, but rather Francis believed that the church was a way to deepen and be involved in the kingdom of God. So this kingdom of God, this reign of God, also a troubadourial image for Francis, a great sense of this. It develops, gains sophistication over time, and Avery Dulles in his book, Models of the Church, noted in this unit and on page 44, and very much worth your study, an easy read, a helpful one, gives us classical notions or images of what the church is as we deepen ever more our understanding of the Church of Francis and Claire, of ourselves as Franciscan women and men. This place of perfect joy, which is also a journey of suffering. And we find that on page 45 and 46. We don't get out of it easily. We want to move it with some pace and some delight and exhilaration because God and Jesus, and God in Jesus Christ, are the exact models, this Trinitarian God that we learned about, read about, studied in the earlier units. Each unit builds on the other, takes us into this radical understanding of a God who breaks out in all of creation, cannot be contained, goes forth within you and I as we go into the world. 46, we see, on page 46, we hear Edward Skillebeek's phrase for Francis, for the church, for you and I possibly, as sacraments of encounter with Christ. So we not only preach the good news, but you and I are the good news. Francis invites us to be the gospel. As Lou McCormick would say, you may be the only Bible that someone ever has a chance to read. So you and I go forth proclaiming with great humility the very spirit, the movement of God within us, the ecclesiation of ourselves, if that's a word, the spirit that fills us out and makes us ecclesial people. The spirituality of liberation that is noted by another Latin theologian, John Sobrino, we would find in the wonderful literature of what is called liberation theology. And so a whole series of them that are in the back of my mind right now that I read early on help me understand just what we're doing. Segundo, an early, maybe Peruvian, I'm forgetting now, theologian, gathered in small ecclesial units of believers to reflect on our life as church. And from there began to articulate a theology of what we call theology of liberation, of freedom in Jesus Christ, not just civic freedom or freedom of country or state or freedom of carrying a gun or smiling on the street. It's the radical freedom that we have in Jesus Christ that brings, if you can hear it in me right now, delight in sharing this with you. This is what Franciscan joy is about. It isn't first an emotion, it's a discovery, it's an encounter with the one who calls us to be church, who is church for us. So this is the unfolding of this chapter. And Francis, beautiful sense here, when Celano is talking about the new evangelist. So he's a new example of this. He's a new cinema character. He's up on the screen of the world, this little guy from Assisi. Hearts of the elect and a holy anointing has been poured out in our midst. A new spirit placed in the hearts of the elect. I mean, that's fire, that's life, that's refreshment. And he continues on the bottom page, the author of this sense, this poetic and romantic outburst in the midst of recounting the story of Francis's life reminds us of Pauline hymns. So no wonder we love the passage from Colossians near the beginning of it, the first chapter, and Philippians. They announce this Christic understanding that John Duns Scotus later elaborates for us of the Christ in all things, and all things coming forth from Christ. This is being a herald that we hear in page 48. Yet more apparent ecclesial image with which Francis identified is this as of a herald. Now, we know in his youth, he was a partier in the streets and he carried on and had a great time and wandered around and pretty soon was proclaiming the one he loved most, which is poverty, and within that, this wealth of the reign of God. So this herald evolves in you and me too. We don't have to be there right away, but we do take time in prayer and reflection as we go through these units to hear about this, to become a person of good news, an evangelizer. The kingdom of God is among us is one of the great things we hear in the gospel repeatedly. And Francis believed in it. So on page 49, a paragraph just down, the kingdom arrives in the person of Jesus. And this beautiful line from Saint now Pope Paul II, the kingdom of God is not a concept. I think you heard Dan trying to make that point. A doctrine or a program subject to free interpretation. Before all else, the kingdom of God is a person with a face and a name. Jesus of Nazareth. The image of the invisible God. It's worth pausing here before we close a reflection on this unit and think about where do we see that face? My sisters and brothers, on each other's faces. When we gather on a Zoom, when we talk across the room, when we sit beside each other, when we dream and remember each other. Certainly, Francis pointed, and we read about it earlier in the unit, on the poor, the leper of our culture and our time, those cast off, maybe a distant person in our family, or a troubled part of our youth. All of that is to be engaged and re-engaged and is already in the good news. And so we proclaim it, we're heralds of it with great joy, with great joy. It's important to remember, too, as we resume our understanding of ourselves as a community at Mount Irenaeus, that much of this was lived out of eremitical lives, which is a hermit life, solitude. And you might say, well, I can't live in a hermitage, or I don't live in one. But find your solitude. Find a core place within yourself where God might dwell, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as Francis encourages us. That's our place of listening and our place of rebirth. And it is from within each of us, underneath subtext of this chapter, this unit is, within each of us that the church is reborn. In taking nothing for our journey, the soul's journey into God, the beautiful piece that's written by Bonaventure, we can make that journey because the kingdom of God reigns within our hearts. That is not a poetic insight. It isn't only a theological way of seeing ourselves. It is core to our faith. So enjoy yourself with Unit 4, and as I did, track back over different pages and don't lose time, but take time with page 50 to 51. That takes us into the canticle, the creatures again, which all of us who share mountain life delight in. This came out of Francis's own solitude, his own blindness, and into a world that needed healing and care, and especially the love for one another, all creatures of our God and King. This truly is the gospel of the reign of God, the renewed church proclaimed in beautiful literature, in spiritual insight, and now rising up in your heart and mind as we reflect together on what it means to come together as a church again today, a radical call to renewal in hope in the Christ who is the church. Thank you for taking time with us, and I welcome you to enjoy sharing it with others. Listen to it again if you wish, or especially may it turn you back to Unit 4. Peace and all good. Dan Riley.